The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
The big, big news. Yes, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. No, that isn't the big news. The big news is Raheem Morris is the new head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Last time he was a head coach, it was in the NFC South with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was from 2009 to 2011. And he was in Atlanta from 2015 all the way up until 2020. And in that 2020 season, he did serve as the interim head coach, along with being the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. The last few years, he was in L.A. with the Los Angeles Rams as their defensive coordinator. And now he's going back to the ATL to be the next head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I don't want to take anything away from Raheem Morris because he was deserving of another opportunity, and you were hoping he was going to get another opportunity. But the story here is Bill Belichick. Because if you had to equate it to football terms, you know, I would kind of use the low-hanging fruit joke here. It looked like Bill Belichick going to Atlanta was kind of like having a 28-3 lead. Like, that's how likely it was. That you're up 28-3 and you're trying to go get the job done and win a Super Bowl. The expectation is when you're spotted a 28-3 lead that you're going to win the Super Bowl. We know for the Falcons, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady prevented that from happening. But just a week and a half ago, this was almost like compared to 28-3 in terms of the likelihood that the Atlanta Falcons were going to land Bill Belichick. Like, that is how great of a margin it was. It was Belichick and it was everybody else in terms of who was going to be the next head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And Sam, just real quickly, I think the stream, something happened with the stream on youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. I believe I am frozen on the stream because I'm looking to my right and I just see myself frozen. But regardless, it looked like it was a foregone conclusion that Belichick was going to wind up in Atlanta. And then there was various reports that Belichick was getting pushback from people inside the organization, like inside the Falcons organization. It wasn't necessarily Arthur Blank didn't want him, but it was other people in the organization. And I could understand why. Like, that would be the case because those people realize Belichick does something his way or it's the highway. And when you bring in Bill Belichick, there probably would have been a lot of people that A, would have either lost their job in year one, or at the end of year one, after Belichick laid the foundation, he would have got rid of a lot of the leftovers and the carryovers from the previous regime, and also the previous people that are like in the front office too. And I could understand why people internally, if they felt like, okay, Bill's made it pretty clear he wants to do things X, Y, and Z, and I'm not going to be a part of that plan. I could understand why people in the organization that are close to, let's say, Arthur Blank would advocate for Bill Belichick to not get the job. But if that's the reason, and let's just say that's the reason why Belichick ultimately didn't get this job, well, then the Falcons are going to continue to be a losing organization. Like, I want Raheem Morris to succeed. I picked the Falcons this past year to win the NFC South. Like, I think they have a good young roster, and they just need a quarterback. But why are you hiring Raheem Morris is the question. Because it doesn't add up to me. outside of the way that I just laid it out, where you have a coach here that Arthur Blank reportedly clearly wanted. That was the name. That was going to be the guy, right? It was Belichick. He was enamored by Bill Belichick. But then people close to you were like, no, we don't want Bill. And nothing against Raheem Morris. Maybe it turns out in the second chapter to be a very fine head coach. But Bill Belichick, his resume is so much greater and obviously pales in comparison to pretty much any other candidate. So I look at this and I do see the Falcons and I say, with the Falcons, how much did the internal pressure get to Arthur Blank where it made him deviate away from that decision? Because I don't think this was Arthur Blank on his own souring on Bill Belichick. It was other people that were close to him. So you're entitled to that. You're allowed, if that's how you want to run your football team, that's fine. Also, I think what can't get lost here is that some of this is on Bill too. Because Bill Belichick has shown the last 2 years that he's not willing to listen. He's not willing to adapt. And I love Bill Belichick. I'm extremely grateful that he brought my football team 6 championships. But Bill Belichick in the year of 2024 is not your ideal coaching candidate. Now, he should still be 1 of 32. He should still have a job in the NFL as a head coach. I still believe with the proper talent, and you need talent to win. There's a reason why every time the Patriots have won a Super Bowl, Belichick says, it's all about the players. It's all about the players. It's all about the players. You know, players win games and coaches lose them. That's what he says every time. But Bill has done a lot of things where he's been so adamant about doing it his way or the highway that he's made some dumb decisions. Like, he had a bad relationship, clearly, with Mac Jones. Regardless of what Bill said publicly and regardless what Mac has said publicly, that relationship soured. And not only that, the dumbest thing of all was he trusted his offense with a defensive coordinator in Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Like, that was a stupid decision. Everyone knew that was going to fail from the start. And then, depending on the reporting that you believe, he wanted to keep Patricia running the offense until Kraft came in and said, no, 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 you're hiring Bill O'Brien. So it was time for him to move on from New England. But you go back to that press conference, which it was, they did not amicably part ways. Belichick still wanted to be the coach of the team. But it seemed like it was a lock that Belichick would be coaching this upcoming year. Robert Kraft even said it. It's going to pay me when he's on the sideline somewhere else next year. And we know how great of a coach Bill Belichick still is. But now you're going through this cycle, and it doesn't appear like Bill's going to get a job. There's only 2 spots left. And you thought Belichick going to the Commanders was a lock? It's a foregone conclusion now. It's the lock of all locks that Ben Johnson is going to wind up with the Washington Commanders. So the only other opening out there is Seattle. And Bill really wouldn't make sense for Seattle because they just got rid of a very good coach, a coach that is probably going to the Hall of Fame in Pete Carroll, and a guy who is older in Pete Carroll. So you're going to replace him with basically, how am I going to say this? A better version of a coach than Pete Carroll, but he doesn't connect with his locker room as well as Pete Carroll did.
He's 6 months younger, though. That's a big deal.
Yeah. When you get to that age, you just don't even say your age. So I guess it is a big deal in that regards because Bill could call Pete Carroll one coach in the NFL or used to be coach in the NFL as an old man. I guess he could say that to Pete Carroll. So it doesn't make sense. It's not a fit for Bill to land in Seattle. So now you really have Bill going through this offseason. He won't ever say it, but he's humiliated. He got to be. You don't land a job. He put all of his eggs in the basket of Atlanta, and Atlanta ended up saying, we don't want you. That's the crazy part. And now Bill's going to be sitting on the sideline unless a team that has already made their decision reverses course of action. Now, I don't think Jerry Jones, even if Bill calls up and begs and says, I want to go to Dallas, I don't think Jerry Jones is moving on from Mike McCarthy this offseason. and they've already brought him back, even though they haven't extended him. The Buffalo Bills, I don't think they're moving on from Sean McDermott. But you go through some of these teams that have already made decisions. I think Philadelphia should actually reverse course of action. And I know they won't, because Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman like a head coach that they can control and that can be a puppet. And Nick Sirianni yesterday just showed he is a puppet. When you get asked at a press conference, well, what do you actually do? You're bringing a new OC, you're bringing a new DC, it's Vic Fangio now. What do you actually do? And he's like, I'm the head coach of the team. But like, what do you actually do? Well, you're the head coach figure, but you're really getting pulled and the strings are being operated by Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. So that would be the complete antithesis, going from Sirianni, a puppet, to an actual coach and a CEO of the entire team and a my way or the highway type of guy in Bill Belichick. But yesterday's press conference for Philadelphia was really one of the more humiliating, embarrassing, pathetic, just displays that I've ever seen. Yeah, I know Nick Sirianni makes a lot of money, but they humiliated him yesterday. And they basically sent the message to the public that Nick is the head coach in title, but really Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are the head coach of the team and what they say Nick will do. And Nick basically has no power outside of just having the title. But quite frankly, it's pretty much an empty title. And everyone now is realizing that Nick Sirianni doesn't have that much say in what goes on with the Philadelphia Eagles. But the shame in all of this is that the Eagles have a great roster. The Eagles have an extremely talented roster. And I don't want to waste away that Super Bowl window. So even though they went through the embarrassment of yesterday, and you thought yesterday was humiliating, imagine they come out tomorrow and they said, we're now parting ways with Nick Sirianni and we're going to hire Bill Belichick. But that's what they should do, because it makes the Philadelphia Eagles better. So that's what should happen, but it won't happen. And in all likelihood, unless something crazy goes down in the next week or two, or someone maybe walks away, you know, what Florio has floated out there, maybe Andy Reid walks away. You know, he wins a Super Bowl this year, he walks away, and then Belichick swoops right in. Here I come to save the day. And he teams up with Patrick Mahomes. In all likelihood, the hoodie is going to have to wait a full year to make his triumphant return to the NFL. And you know this, and I know this, with as great of a resume as Bill Belichick has, he is 71 years old. You know, the more and more you wait, even with your resume, but why the Falcons passed you up, and this new trend of coaching where it's a player's coach, but to succeed, you can't be a doormat, but then you can't basically be a dictator and be a my way or the highway guy like Belichick is. The more and more we trend to that style, and you see coaches have success that way, like a D'Amico Ryans with the Texans, like a Dan Campbell with the Lions. Look, that style just got Antonio Pierce the head coaching job in the Raiders because he won over that locker room. The more and more stuff like that happens, you move further and further away from the idea of Bill Belichick coaching again. You know, early in the week, if you would have said, will we never see Bill Belichick coach again? I would say you're damn crazy. But I don't know what the market's going to look like next year. And I'm sure eventually he could find a desperate owner that will hire him based off the reputation and based off the results that Bill Belichick has done. However, with that being said, Arthur Blank was extremely desperate. Arthur Blank is trying to win. And Arthur Blank just said, yeah, I'm going to trust the guys in my organization that don't want Bill. And they won him over, and they persuaded him to go hire Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick. Crazy, crazy, crazy. That's what it is. It's wild. Bill Belichick is not going to be coaching next year in the NFL. Like, there's sometimes you say things into the microphone and you go, okay, I believe this, but I could see myself being wrong. But when I say today that Bill Belichick is not going to be coaching in the NFL next year, it's just a weird sentence, but it's reality. because the Commanders are going to hire Ben Johnson. The Seahawks aren't hiring Bill Belichick. And barring something unforeseen happening, you know, maybe a retirement, you know, I don't know, like a health issue happening with a current coach, like something that you never even want to imagine.
We have heard from Mike Florio that Andy Reid, radar result for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Like Belichick and Mahomes.
That's the only thing. Ugh. You know what? I would never root against Bill Belichick unless he's coaching up against my team. I think I would have to root against Bill Belichick if he goes to Kansas City for one reason and one reason only. I look each and every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, at the man to my left, who is Samter, who is the most Fugazi football fan, Kansas City Chiefs fan I've ever met. If you got a championship this year, Andy Reid walking away or waddling away into the sunset, devouring a cheeseburger and holding up a Lombardi trophy, and I then have to see Belichick, my guy Bill, go to Kansas City, ugh, that would be insufferable. And you know what? It would actually be crazy for sports talk radio, Santa. Here's why. Because people have already started with this jackassery that Mahomes is already better than Brady, which I don't even want to get into that argument because it's so ridiculous as much as I love Mahomes. But wouldn't that be the ultimate, like, bleep you move from Belichick to Brady? I'll go win with Mahomes, and I'll go enhance the resume of Mahomes when people will then try to take away from the resume of the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady.
It kind of has Phil Jackson vibes on it, going from Michael Jordan to Shaq and Kobe, just kind of like jumping from one elite superstar, all-time great GOAT to another.
It would be wild. It really would be wild. But, like, do you believe that Andy Reid is coaching maybe the last or second-to-last game of his career? Like, as much as I love Florio, and I love when Florio comes on, I would be really surprised if Florio ends up being right about it. He didn't say it definitively. He just said it's on the Chiefs' radar that there's a possibility that Andy Reid could retire at the end of this year. But why would like, I get it. You have accomplished everything you can. You finally won the two Super Bowls. If you get another, you're three. But, you know, you're still in your early 60s, and you have Mahomes, and things are thriving right now in Kansas City. With how much he loves football and how much we talk about these football coaches just being addicted to the game, why would he walk away right now?
I mean, there's been some family stuff and health stuff.
Yeah.
So it might not be his choice. I mean, obviously the whole thing with his son. Yeah, no, I understand. But, I mean, it's one of those things where also if you walk away with another title and you have your three plus your however many NFC Championship appearances with the Eagles and the Super Bowl appearance there, maybe he just says, all right, you know, I've got my three. I've done what I can do. You know, Patrick Mahomes is basically, he's a head coach on the field. Anyone else can step in and do my job.
You know, it's actually a sad day in the NFL. Because the two most talked about people the last 20 years in the NFL, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We know Brady's done. Like, if that story's true, Purdy said it, that the 49ers tried to get Brady and Brady said, no, Brady's not playing again. But I didn't think this was the end for Bill. It would have been bizarre seeing him somewhere else. But it's now starting to feel like this is the end for Bill Belichick. And you know this has to drive him crazy because he's less than 20 wins away from catching Don Shula for the most wins of all time, which is an important record, maybe to like nobody else, but it is important to Bill Belichick.
If he wants it, he'll be back next year if there's not an option for him this year. Some team next year will be like, all right, we want Bill. It seems like he only interviewed with the Falcons. Doesn't mean that that was the only team that was interested in him.
But is he going to adapt? Is he going to change?
Some team's not going to care.
You're probably right.
Arthur Blank and Rich McKay, like, they're very proud. They like to have their hand in where they want to have their hand. There's going to be some team next year.
Well, this is Rich McKay. This is not Arthur. I know it's ultimately Arthur Blank's decision.
Right.
But he clearly wanted to hire Bill Belichick.
Right. And there was a clip also that we can maybe play later where Boomer talked about the issues between the Falcons and Bill. And it seemed like maybe Rich McKay would have to be on the cutting block for Bill to agree to go to the Falcons. There were certain things that Bill was demanding from the Falcons, and maybe Rich McKay realized it's either me or him, and I'm going to stay with me.
But you know what I would have said? Snip, snip to Rich McKay. See ya. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's what I would have said to Rich freaking McKay. Yeah, you're going to go over Rich McKay than Bill Belichick? I don't care what you think of Belichick now. Are you kidding me? So, That's a decision. Do you think Bill Belichick has coached his final game in the NFL? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The big news of the day. It's kind of crazy. The last, like, 2 or 3 weeks, we went from Pete Carroll getting fired, even though they moved him to a different title, but getting fired as the head coach. And then we did that show for 2 hours, and then the final hour was all Nick Saban retires. And then the following day, it was, okay, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are parting ways. Then a few weeks later, you find out that Kalen DeBoer lands at Alabama. 3 out of the 4 coaches in the college football playoff are not back, right? Harbaugh lands with the Chargers. Saban retire, and then DeBoer go from Washington to Alabama. The only one standing there is Sark. And then today you find out, or last night you find out, Jim Harbaugh goes to the Chargers. He's leaving Michigan. And then shortly after that, the expectation, even though it was moving a little bit away from it, was that Bill Belichick would wind up in Atlanta, but now it's Raheem Morris winding up in Atlanta. And oh yeah, by the way, the Carolina Panthers hired Dave Canales. This is a wild coaching cycle. And in all likelihood, it's going to end with Pete Carroll having to sit out a year, Belichick having to sit out a year, and maybe, we'll see, like Vrabel can make sense for the Seahawks, but in all likelihood, probably Mike Vrabel sitting out as well. So we are down to 2. Commanders not having a head coaching option, and the Seattle Seahawks not having a head coaching option. Do you think Belichick will ever coach again? 855-212-4CBS.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a Solo Stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Last 24 hours, we see Jim Harbaugh land in Los Angeles with the Chargers. We see Dave Canales get moving to Carolina. And now Raheem Morris is going to be the next head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Bill Belichick looking like he's going to get shut out of this coaching cycle with only the Seahawks and the Commanders' job still remaining open. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Frank in Georgia next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Frank, what's shaking?
Hey, thanks for having my call. You know, as a lifelong Patriots fan, I would more than happy just like to see Bill just ride off into the sunset. I don't think he's going to coach next year. I don't think he should coach next year.
Why not? Why do you think he shouldn't coach next year? Just wondering.
Well, I think he had his time in the sun. He had his moments. Look at all the Super Bowl rings he has. You know, his record without Brady before he's with the Patriots and after with the Patriots is not that good. And, you know, as a Patriots fan, I'm tired of hearing people saying, look at Belichick. He's not that great. He needed Brady to win all those games.
Yeah. I'm sure he's, and, you know, that conversation is insufferable. And I say this as a Patriot fan as well, Frank. Like, yeah, Brady was more important than Belichick, but it doesn't mean that Belichick gets no credit for what the dynasty was, because it was just many different eras in that one dynasty where earlier on, I do think it was more Belichick than Brady, but then through time, when you have the greatest quarterback of all time, it makes life a whole lot easier. And then Brady really became the face of the team and the face of the reason why they won, won so many titles. But you just look at the last Super Bowl that they won, you know, that was more against the Rams. It was more Belichick's defense holding them to 3 points than Brady's offense only putting up 13 points in the game. So thanks for the phone call. But it is crazy where how you see the end of Brady's career compared to what could be the end of Bill Belichick's career. And that even makes what Brady was able to accomplish so much more impressive, is that Brady never had a moment where you really thought like Father Time caught up to him. Because he goes to Tampa Bay after leaving New England, where people questioned him. And people said, oh, here's the decline. They had a bad 2019. He wins the Super Bowl the first year. Then they make the second round of the playoffs the following season. And then the year after that, you know, I know they won a crappy division, but they still made the postseason. And Brady's numbers did dip, but he still statistically wasn't this horrible quarterback. So you look at the end of Brady's career, it kind of went peacefully. And Brady had it was gravy after he won that Super Bowl the first year. It didn't matter how many more years he was going to play. The only thing that got ugly with Brady was the retirement, then coming back, and then retiring again. You know, that was the only crazy kind of hectic part in the large scheme of things. But for Belichick, you go from without having Brady, having a respectable first season without Brady. The next year, you take the team to the postseason. But really, that game in Buffalo, which I was there, once they lost that game to Buffalo, what happened to the Patriots the last 2 years? You wasted a year of Mac Jones. Then you finally brought in an offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien. The offensive talent, and I know the defense played well, but the talent on the team was just not there. And that's the biggest criticism that I have of Belichick in the last 2 years. I know he's been without Brady for 4, but it's especially in the last 2 years. He still almost thought with the moves that he made that he had Tom Brady on the roster. You were able to cut corners when Tom Brady was your quarterback, because that's how outstanding, that's how great the greatest quarterback, right, of all time is. But when you assemble a team in the year of 2023, when Mac Jones was your quarterback and your best wide receiver was either Kendrick Bourne or Juju Smith-Schuster on paper, and it didn't take a brainiac to figure out that the team wasn't going to be that damn good. And that's what I was like. The last 2 years, people be like, oh, how you doing with the Patriots losing? I'm like, kind of expected this. I didn't think the team was any good. I thought the team was crap entering this year. And 2 years ago, he was able to have them to contend for a playoff spot in that final week of the season with a bad roster. But when you keep on pumping out bottom five rosters, eventually, I don't care how great of a coach you are, you're going to be a bottom five team. And this was the year where all bleep kind of hit the fan. But to see the way that this is now halted, where Belichick, in all likelihood, is not getting a job this hiring cycle, it's really surreal when you compare the end of Brady's career to the end of Belichick's career. And maybe Belichick's coaching next year, I wouldn't rule it out, but I can't sit here with certainty after getting shut out of the Falcons job and it going to Raheem Morris that I'm confident that Bill's going to be coaching next year in the NFL. Like right now, you look around the league, and there's always going to be potential openings, right? Like look how many we just had. Like McDermott's on the hot seat entering this year. Robert Saleh's on the hot seat, but Bill's never coaching the Jets. He wouldn't even walk to the Jets locker room, and they did the 30 for 30 with Bill Parcells.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Nah, trust me, he ain't going to the Jets. There is no... Bill would rather not coach in the NFL ever again than coach the New York Jets organization.
Bill going to the Jets might actually get me back to being a Jets fan.
No, you can't now go back to being a Jets fan. You made your bed. It's very successful. You should enjoy lying into it. But if that would be the biggest weasel move ever, if you go from being a Jet fan to a Chief fan, then back to a Jet fan. I just couldn't trust you as a man anymore. You know, I would think, like, part of me thinks less of you as a human being now since you gave up on your team. But if you went back, man, I would really think less of you.
That's okay. I'll do whatever I need to do for my fandom and my heart.
Like, the Broncos have Sean Payton. The Raiders just hired Antonio Pierce. We know the Chargers just hired Jim Harbaugh. You know, maybe Andy Reid's going to retire and eventually go away, but I don't think that's going to happen this offseason. John Harbaugh's good with the Ravens. I don't think Belichick's going back to Cleveland, and Stefanski should be safe. Tomlin's safe with the Steelers. You know, the Bengals have had a lot of success with Zach Taylor. Everyone's good right now in the AFC South, and Tennessee just made a hire of Callahan. It's like the Commanders are going to go with Ben Johnson. You know what the team could be? Daboll with the Giants. Daboll doesn't have a successful season this year. And you know how much Belichick respects the Giants organization. That could be a year from now. And that's been speculated before when he was in New England that maybe Bill's coaching the Giants a year from now. You know, you go through all the teams, through all the 8 divisions and the 32 teams in the NFL, where Bill could wind up next, I actually think that's the one with the greatest chance. He's not coaching this year. We know that. Bill Belichick coaching the Giants a year from now if Daboll does not live up to the hype in year 3. Because Daboll had a great year 1, bad year 2. If he has a bad year 3, do maybe the Giants pull the plug and they go bring in Bill Belichick? I also wonder, like, is Bill going to be a consultant this year? You know, he's not going to be I don't think he's going to be a defensive coordinator. I'm just going to go out on a limb with that one. But does Bill go be a consultant somewhere where he maybe realizes the coach is on shaky ground and you kind of Doc Rivers your way into a job where you start consulting people, then you stab him in the back, and then you take over the team? Could be something. Or like, what happens if Sirianni gets fired 4 or 5 games into the season? Does he just magically wind up in Philadelphia? But I would say, if I had to make a prediction today where Bill Belichick is coaching next, I think the team with the best chance is actually the Giants in what would be in 2025. But man, he's not going to be in the NFL in 2024 unless something crazy happens. We'll end the show out in style next with a Zach Gelb Show Thursday PSA. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
All righty, wild show. The two biggest topics of conversation: Jim Harbaugh off to the Chargers, Raheem Morris off to the Falcons. The future of Bill Belichick is extremely, and I mean extremely, ambiguous, with only 2 jobs remaining open, and no one thinks he's getting the Commanders job or the Seattle Seahawks job. So in all likelihood, Bill Belichick will be on the sidelines for the 2024 NFL season. All right, it is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's end the show out in style with a little Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Warning. 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 Warning.
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Hey!
So I have a 2-step PSA here. 2-step. But I got a 2-step PSA. Number one. So last week for the divisional round, watching the Chiefs go up against the Buffalo Bills. Go to a buddy's house. You know, invite like 5-6 guys over. We order a bunch of sandwiches, have a bunch of chips, some cookies, right? Like a bunch of good food just to sit there and eat. When you are going to watch a game somewhere, especially when it's a playoff game, and the host was great, right? Big TV, sound is on, but you're going there to watch the game. I had one friend in particular who was there, but he wasn't really there to watch the game. And when I'm watching a game, I don't need a lecture. As much as I love animals and I love dogs, how I should go get a dog and adopt a dog, I don't have time to think about that. I'm there to watch the damn game, all right? So don't sit there and tell me why I need to adopt a dog when I'm watching the game. I'm only thinking about how the Chiefs are going to try to stop Josh Allen, or how Patrick Mahomes is going to have some phenomenal victory once again, or the Bills are going to finally be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about a puppy. I'm not thinking about having a man's best friend for the rest of my life, right? I'm thinking about the football. Now, that same friend. It's kind of been a rough show for him today, because he was the same friend that was the Ohio State fan that turns 30 today. So he invites us all. This is before I knew that I was going to Baltimore for the AFC Championship game. He invites us all on Sunday, Conference Championship Sunday, 10 to 12, go to a golf simulator, 12 to 2, have lunch, and then from 3 to whenever, watch the games. It's in Brooklyn. I know it's not that far from me, but no one's going to sit there and watch both games, right? So then I'd have to leave the first game, probably miss the first half of the first game or the first quarter. Like, don't schedule big events, even if you're trying to make them around sports. Around sports. Like, don't do that. You got to know there's some events on the sports calendar that you can't be, oh, let's go celebrate something. So happy 30th birthday to my friend. But don't invite me to your 30th birthday party on conference championship weekend. I told him this. When he set this out there, I said, that's conference championship weekend. I may be going to the game. I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm not going to. That's whatever you're planning. I need to be on my couch with a bunch of food, with the sound on, and I need the focus to be on the game. Because if you go to a bar for a game, I don't know if I'm getting sound. And I got to be plugged in with what I do. So those are my two PSAs today. Samter, what do you got cooking, my friend?
You're a bad friend, man.
No, I'm not.
His football. 30th birthday? It's not like his 28th or his 32nd.
Okay.
You can DVR the games. You can watch the games at a bar with your friends. Now, you're going to the games.
You just learned a lot about me. Football is all the way up here. Friends, all the way down there.
Right, like I said, you're a bad friend.
I have told my father before. We've had this conversation. Whenever it's my dad's time to go, that if he passed away on like a Thursday and people wanted the funeral on a Sunday, my dad gave me permission to tell everyone else to go kick rocks. We're not burying him on a Sunday. You don't do things on a football Sunday. You just don't. Outside of watch football and do what men do best. That's eat food and watch football.
You're not just a bad friend. You're a bad son.
My dad agreed with me. He said he would be mad if we buried him on a Sunday.
The Gelb clan is insane.
No, it's not. We're just actual normal human
beings. I had my
beings.
Daughter's birthday on a football Sunday. You know what we did? We played, watched football on TV all day, and we drank, and it was great. So you know what? You can adapt.
And you had to fake that happiness.
Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't actually want to be there.
I did. My friends did. We're all drinking, having fun, watching football all day.
Go ahead. What do you got?
So here's my PSA, and this is kind of a preemptive PSA. Because I don't know how things are going to go tomorrow. Kind of hoping I know how things are going to go tomorrow, but I don't know.
What's tomorrow going on
tomorrow? Is my first flight with my now one-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And I don't know how it's going to go. She might be an angel and just hang out and play and be happy like she normally is. Or she might be in pain with ear infections and all the other issues with all the ear popping, screaming and crying for 3 hours on a plane. I don't know how my daughter's going to be. But here's my PSA. Because before I had a kid, I hated everybody who had a crying, screaming baby on a plane.
Now you want them to be nice to you. I hope you get some curmudgeon.
So here's my PSA.
I hope your daughter cries the entire flight.
Don't be a Samter. Don't be a Samter. Don't be like I used to be when I was a kid. getting pissed off and angry.
Yeah.
And telling the stewardess, hey, can you tell that lady to shut her kid up?
Don't be a douche.
Don't be that guy. Don't be me. Be better than me. Be Dad Stamter.
Yeah.
Be Grandpa Stamter. Be Papa Stamter. And be patient. If my baby's crying, say, hey, she's cute. I'll put on headphones and I'll deal. That's my PSA.
So you know what? I actually think we should call out sick tomorrow. Stu, let's call out sick tomorrow. We'll find Samter's flight. We'll get the seats right behind him. We'll be like, who is this father that can't control his kid? I'm just trying to sit here and enjoy the flight, and this guy's kid won't shut the bleep up.
You know what? You guys are on the plane with us. You're babysitting during the flight. My wife and I are going to be drinking. You guys are going to be in charge of the baby.
Are you paying us? Because I don't babysit for free.
I'll get you like a Coca-Cola on the flight.
Ginger ale. Then we can maybe.
There you
get
go. Oh yeah, I learned that yesterday about you. You're all about the ginger ale.
Man, for some reason, I'm
drinking
not a soda guy.
And you two are drinking ginger ales.
Yeah,
what the hell's
that's
going
true.
On over there?
I'm not a soda guy, but for some reason, the last few months, I've been on this ginger ale kick.
How do you not have a scotch or a drink with your steak? You might be disappointed in me for some things. I was disappointed in you about that.
Okay, that's fair. I was weak last night. I didn't want to drink.
Number two, when you're out with your buddies eating steak, order a drink.
Yeah, but I had to be like an NBA player. I needed some load management because the night before I was having some spicy margaritas. I can't do back-to-backs anymore.
That's your fault. We planned this weeks ago.
Oh, sorry. Other people take precedence over you. I hate to break that to you.
She better than you.
All righty. What do we got here, Stu?
All right. Speaking of the NBA and load management, I'm going to read a take from a tweet.
Is this
from
a message from the Swifties?
No,
are they mad at me?
This All is right, a tweet from your former producer, Ryan Hot Take Hickey, the other night.
Oh, you're going after Hickey. Okay.
L.A. continues to be a hashtag Clippers town.
Ooh.
So, listen. Okay, the Clippers might have the Lakers number in recent regular season games.
But no one cares about the
Clippers. But nobody cares. They haven't won a championship. They have not gone to a title.
Mm-hmm.
They would for LA to be a Clippers town, they would have to win 5 straight championships.
And even then,
it would still probably be a Lakers town. So all the losers out there that think it's a Clippers town,
losers,
including Hot Take Hickey, kick rocks, like you said before.
But you know what? I'm disappointed in you. You let Hot Take Hickey
get to
you.
I know, it's a debate. I know I did.
Everything he tweets out is stupid. It doesn't make sense, and it's always wrong. Like, he's complaining today about Dan Campbell being a Coach of the Year finalist, and it's not Shane Steichen. Well, how about your dopey head coach puts the best player on the field in the biggest game of the season on the play where it's fourth down and your season's on the line? But that's what Hickey does. Like, it's funny. I saw him in the newsroom. And he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great, Hickey. How you been? Everything good? Blah, blah, blah. And he goes to, and I said to him, I got to ask you something. Last year, you lectured me on why Sean Payton instantly makes the Broncos a playoff team. But now he's already spewing this nonsense because he hates Harbaugh and he hates Michigan. And he'll tell you, oh, I like this hire for the Chargers. But down deep, it's rooted in hatred because he picked against Michigan every step of the way this year. He was wrong. And Michigan ended up winning the national championship. He's already spewing takes that the Chargers are going to suck this year. Like, so who cares what Hot Take Hickey says?
Because he must be sopped.
It's actually good when he picks against your team, because then in all likelihood, your team then is going to win. And also, since we're crapping on coworkers here, I have a PSA. When I have my wallet just sitting out to the left of me, I don't need the update anchor here, cough, cough, Rich Ackerman, every time my wallet's out to take my wallet and look what's inside my wallet. Like, I'm hosting a show. This should be a safe space. The desk to the left of me has my wallet on top of it. Actor, in the last update, took it and goes, oh, you don't have a lot of money in there, Chief. Yeah, it's 2024. People in my generation, we don't carry cash. So sorry that I'm only carrying around $25 for crying out loud. I do everything debit and credit. But snooping around in my wallet, I don't like it. Don't be that guy. My personal items. Don't touch my personal items. All righty. Fun show today. Big thanks to Stuart Kovacs, Moist Mike, each and every one of you. I really hope, actually, this is a genuine statement. I hope there are no problems flying tomorrow for Moist Mike. I really hope there aren't. Because that, I can't even imagine just internally what you would be feeling if your daughter's crying for 3 hours and everyone's like looking at you. That, and I do not wish that upon anybody. So I wish you a safe and a very happy flight. Also like to thank Blake Corum for joining us today, Sean Merriman as well, and each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. You could always get at me on social media, @ Zach Gelb. Instagram and Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, ZACHGELB. And you could stream the show Monday through Friday, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. In addition to we thanking you on listening on one of our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Of course, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Football Friday tomorrow. We'll spin the wheel. We'll see who they stick us with, Stu and I with, when Samter's out. But it's a big Football Friday, so we'll get you ready for the conference championship games in the AFC and NFC. All righty, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Have a great night. Peace.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.